Right, so hello everyone. My name is Jirka Kremzer, and today I'm gonna talk about KGB meets Cluster API. So it's gonna be fusion of those two seemingly unrelated technologies. Couple of words about myself. I used to work for Red Hat, Oracle, Giant Swarm, APSA Groups, and other. Currently, I work on a startup called Credify.io, which is a solution that tries to aim for productizing KEDA and making enterprise version of KEDA. But I'm also maintainer of KGB. When I'm not coding, I love to 3D code. And I also like to do road tripping with my family. Last one is the Japanese one, again in the top right. So this is a little bit motivation about the talk. What I'd like to achieve is the high availability of services as a code. That sounds like a buzzword, right? But what I mean by that is I don't want to use any vendor locking solutions from AWS and other cloud providers. So everything's gonna be on top of Kubernetes. This is the common denominator. Everything open source, of course. No CLI invocation or web UI clicking. And we want to achieve it without any external health checks that are pinging our services. So part one is the KGB. There was a separate talk about it 2 years ago on FOSDEM. I'm not gonna go super into details, but from I will just scratch the surface. So it's a DNS-based solution. So if there is some outage in a service, it's using DNS to make the switch. So it relies on Kubernetes readiness probes. How many of you are Kubernetes folks, by the way? Cool. Okay. Awesome. So if the application goes down in terms of readiness probes, if the readiness probe fails, the KGB will kick in and switch the communication to different cluster based on DNS. So it's decentralized. There is no communication between the clusters. They are equal. The only sync point is the DNS service. It's CRD-based, so it's an operator that reconciles GSLB custom resources. And we ship it currently with core DNS and external DNS. External DNS is a service that can do the DNS writes to HDNS services. I've created a cool GIF, but it takes 5 or 6 minutes, so I'm not gonna show you, but you can look up the slides and play it. In terms of topology, these gray boxes are Kubernetes clusters, and as you can see, it shares common set of configuration. Each of them has KGB, but also Nginx, and these are applications. So we are not opinionated how to deliver the configuration to those clusters, but in certain terms, it needs to be similar or homogeneous. So if there is a configuration drift in one of the applications, we need some mechanism to reflect that, right? Because it's using redundancy, so if the service in one cluster is broken, it will redirect the user to a different cluster, and it's a kind of assumption that these applications are same. So we were advocating for GitOps from the very beginning, so one can use GitOps for synchronizing such a state across multiple clusters. And what I'm gonna advocate in this talk is also to use something better, to use clusters as a code itself, because the previous use case were syncing only the configuration on the cluster. But when we introduce a management cluster concept, so we are kind of sacrificing the peer-to-peer architecture, and we are introducing the single point of failure in terms. But what we get for that is the fact that we can treat the clusters as a code itself. So we will use Cluster API in this talk to create clusters and also sync the state on each of those clusters. I've prepared a demo, but the demo takes 10 minutes. So I'm gonna merge a PR right now and describe what it's gonna do after the talk. So I've prepared a PR and I merged this one. And it's basically adding a new cluster to existing one. So I have an existing cluster. I can list DNS records. It's a Route 53 service, so it's a cluster deployed in EU West region. And if I dig the IP, this DNS name, it will resolve in this IP. And I'm basically running Kind in my laptop, and this is a management cluster for the EU cluster. So what I'm gonna do is to merge this PR and demonstrate the GitOps principles and how we sync everything, just to make sure it's gonna reconcile. I can give I'm using Argo CD in here, so I'm giving Argo CD a kick just to reconcile more quickly. Cool, it started doing something, so let's switch back to the talk. So second part is the cluster API. This is the guy who will provision our stuff in cloud providers. I said in the beginning that we don't want vendor lock-in, and this is the thing that achieves this no vendor lock-in for cluster providers, because it has support for AWS, Azure, Docker, vSphere, and basically all the current cloud providers are supported. There's a little bit of motivation. It comes with CLI tool cluster CTL, so one can run cluster CTL generate cluster, which creates a bunch of YAMLs, and then you can pipe it to kubectl apply. So we are creating custom resources in your management cluster, and it comes with a bunch of operators. There are at least four of them that reconciles these CRs and creates stuff for you in these cloud providers. So in terms of topology, it's a parent-child hierarchy. You always have some management cluster that holds the representation of those workload clusters. And we can also have a loops, because cluster CTL have a move subcommand when you can transfer the ownership of cluster to itself. You may ask why it's useful. If cluster is self-managed, it can be used for adding a new nodes. So you can also scale clusters by adding a new nodes, workloads, but also for cluster upgrades. If you want to upgrade Kubernetes version to a newer one, this self-managed cluster can achieve that. And last but not least, you can have actually multiple clusters living in different cloud providers, sharing the same representation in this management cluster. So this management cluster is kind of a single pane of glass for your all existing clusters. So how does it work? It has, as I said, at least four controllers. These are the components, these are the controllers. And I mean, three of them are almost the same. The core, bootstrap, and control plane will be 99% the ones coming from upstream. And the infrastructure controller is the part that's going to be changing in your use case, provided if you use AWS or Azure or vSphere or Rancher, for instance. So it comes from, it's kind of difficult operator model. Normally, you have just one CRD and one controller, and it reconciles the CRD and does something, right? But in this case, it's a quite huge set of CRDs. So for instance, this core component introduces these, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, or 7 or 8 CRDs and reconciles them. And infrastructure, there is a convention for having this prefix that cluster. So for instance, in case of AWS, we have AWS cluster, AWS machine template, and others. And these controllers are kind of synchronized to work together in concert. So they are sharing states by updating those CRDs, those status fields. So for instance, one is waiting for the other one to finish and vice versa. And for instance, the bootstrap controller is responsible for transforming the kubeadm config CRD into a configuration for kubeadm binary.